Four John Williams scores and several years ago, Mr. Luthor brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in brilliance and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equally inferior to Mr. Luthor. Now we are engaged in a great civil war against Superman, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what Otis did here, that this nation, under Zod, shall have a new birth of criminal genius, and that government of Mr. Luthor, by Mr. Luthor, for Mr. Luthor, shall not perish from the earth. The Otisburg Address.
Otisburg. Otisburg.
Who's this monster? She's got her own place,
Mr. Otisburg.
It's a little bitty place.
Otisburg?
Okay, I just wipe it off. That's all. It's a little town.
What do you want?
Please, sir. I want some more.
Deadpan.
What? What did you say?
I said, please, sir. I want some more.
Deadpan. Quick, hit Alt-Tab. Your boss is coming. Hey, this is Jack Mangan, a.k.a. the host of the Deadpan Podcast. And actually, I have the mic plugged into a different USB port, so it's much quieter this time. Not going to be peaking, but now you'll be straining to hear me. It's feast or famine around here. Anyway, this is Deadpan number 134, and I'm here to give you the cheerful reminder that none of us will live to be 134. But at least we can have 134 episodes of Deadpan. And as you can tell, this is complete intro babble because I don't really have a whole lot of news around the Deadpan sphere. The Deadpan gathering is still on. Hope you can make it. It's going to be a modest little crowd, but we do have a party suite. And the party suite is in the convention the same day as the North American Discworld Con, but you do not have to be attending the Discworld Con. You don't have to be a con attendee to attend the Deadpan party. However, the door will be open, so Discworld Con party people are welcome to come into our party as well. Maybe I should have replaced the word party with nipples there. I kept saying it. Anyway, more thoughts on parties later if there's time. Otherwise, you just needed to know that. So speaking of cons and parties.
Hello, Deadpan. It is the Energizer Bunny. Just landed yesterday back from WorldCon, and I thought I'd give you a few notes. Actually, I've got, on my little iPod Touch, I've got tons of notes. I wrote up a little bit every day. So we landed about 4:30-ish on Wednesday, checked into the hotel, then went to the convention center to register. The website said registration would be open till 8, but they were already shutting down around 6. Did get registered, but just barely. Didn't get my Aurora nominees ribbon. All the nominees were supposed to get a ribbon when they checked in at registration, and it wasn't in my package, so I asked them about it very politely, just so you know. I'm not usually a grumpy person, but a very grumpy gentleman took the program book and just slammed it on the desk in front of me and says, "Prove that you're a nominee." So I found the list and pointed out my name, and then he gave me a ribbon. He wasn't really happy about it. And actually, throughout the convention, I ran across some other nominees in other categories, because we all know each other, let's face it. And a lot of them didn't have ribbons, because it wasn't well advertised. There was a two-page email that everybody who was going to the Aurora banquet got. I got it the day before I left, so on the Tuesday. And just briefly, right in the middle of it was one line, something about a ribbon for nominees, and I had caught that. But a lot of the nominees had left the day or two before even I did, so they didn't even get the email, didn't know anything about the ribbon. So I was going around every time I ran into them, "Oh, go get your ribbon," and then I told them about the grumpy person, because I don't like grumpy people. But that being said, the next day I was very grumpy myself. Anyways, Wednesday, after we did all that, we met up with some friends and we went into Old Montreal for dinner. Whereupon I got food poisoning. So I spent the whole night awake, and not for the good party reasons, but for the food poisoning reasons. Don't remember a lot about Thursday. I do know, early afternoon, late morning, I ended up going back to the hotel and sleeping most of the day because let's face it, I wasn't feeling well.
Hello. This is T. Morris of PodioBooks.com, the survival guide to writing fantasy, and podcasting for dummies. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Yay.
Grind.
All right, Jack. Dirty lyrics time. First one, if it were a movie, would probably be rated G. We jumped into that dirty water, and I thought we might be able to swim in it, but we quickly discovered we could not even begin to dog paddle in it, because right where we was, the niche was only 4.5 inches deep. So, we wound up crawling along on all fours in it through the mud and beer cans and yucky things and old pieces of cars. We went past a bunch of fenders and a couple of Plymouth hubcaps when we came to a place where we thought there might be some toads, when we were surprised by a farmer who told us to get out of here and never come back, or he'd call the sheriff and put us into jail for the rest of our natural-born lives with nothing to eat but bread and water so we'd starve. That's an excerpt of Nishnabotna by C.W. McCall.
Hello, Deadpan. This is a dirty lyric medley. Relax. Don't do it when you want to come. I'm a bitch. I'm a tease. I'm a goddess on my knees. She came on like a teaser. I had to touch and please her. Enjoy a little paradise. The log was in my pocket when Lucy met the rocket, and she never knew the reason why. I want to go out with a lion's roar. I want to go south and get me some more. They say that a stitch in time saves 9. They say I better stop or I'll go blind. Ooh, she bop. I don't want anybody else. When I think about you, I touch myself. My lips are sweet as candy. I need a man that's handy. Don't be a tease. Just give me what I like. I'm full of freakiness. So give my cat a kiss and make it purr so we can do this right. I can do it in the water. I can do it on dry land. I can do it with instruments. I can do it with my own bare hands. Would it be my fault if I could turn you on? Would I be so bad if I could turn you on? When I kiss your mouth, I want to taste it. Turn you upside down. Don't want to waste it. Relax. Don't do it when you want to come.
Grind.
Hello, Pam. This is Amy Bowen's Airport Update, Season 4, Number 1. Here I am, back at Palm Beach International Airport, same one where I touched down in Palm Beach County for the first time a little less than a year ago now. I'm here waiting for my flight from Palm Beach County to Houston to Ontario, because I'm flying on Continental. Apparently, the weather is not very good in Houston right now. All I know about this flight is that it's delayed, and that if it goes out at all, I will be stuck in Houston for a very long time. So it's going to be a night of suspense, and I'm going to keep you in suspense until my next update. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Few things that happened on Thursday that did make me quite grumpy, but to be honest, I think a lot of that could be attributed just to the way I was feeling more than what really happened. So I ignore Thursday. I'm just, Didn't happen. On to Friday. Friday was much better. Went to several interesting panels. And then around lunchtime, just after lunch, I changed into my dress for the Aurora Awards. The awards weren't till about 5:30. But I knew I'd be busy enough, so I wouldn't have time to change. But that was actually a very bad idea. To get Neil Gaiman's autograph. It was long and convoluted, whatever, but you still ended up standing in line on a hard concrete floor for an hour or more. And I was in high heels, and I was not a happy camper. I was ended up walking around, spending a lot of time just taking my boots off, and because that concrete floor was not good for it. At this point, I suppose I can complain, excuse me, goodness gracious, about how the autographing was handled for Neil, but I don't think, no matter what they did, somebody would have been grumpy and upset. You couldn't please everyone. Neil Gaiman was basically a rock star there. It was just bizarre. There was even one point in one of the party rooms, to give you an idea how this poor man was treated. He went to the washroom, which people do, and when he came out, he was given an applause and mobbed. It's like, the poor man was just going to the bathroom. And he always had this satellite of fans that just went around him. And getting through it beyond the autographing session was not that easy. They were just, it was insane. I really felt sorry for the man more than anything else. So when you have over 3,000 people who really want to mob, they can only, you couldn't please everybody. So yeah, autographs are really hard to get, but there's not much you could do about that in that situation.
Hey, this is Raquel, a.k.a. Sistress, from the Triscast. You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Daria is dead, and deadpan is the fucking way.
Grind.
All right, Jack, here's another song lyric, Dirty Lyrics. I think if this was rated as a motion picture, it would probably be, well, in this day and age, it would probably be an R because of the repeated use of the word fucking. I was sitting there watching TV. Wendy came and sat on my knee. She put her finger in my ear, but I pulled it out so I could hear what the newsman on the television said. He said the king of rock and roll was dead. And in the spooky television light, she said, "Don't ever forget this night. I was fucking Wendy under the stars the night that Elvis died." As we walked across the dew-wet field, I never ever thought she would yield to my young body's aching desire for an older woman's well-banked fire. By the left hand I was led to the place that we would make our bed. And embracing in the blue moonlight, she said, "Don't ever forget this night. I was fucking Wendy under the stars the night that Elvis died." She was 31, I was 17. I found out then what passion could mean. I thought I loved her, but I didn't know how. I don't love her when I see her now. With the tape deck turned up loud, she made a young man feel strong and proud, and in the coolness of the morning light, she said, "Don't ever forget this night. I was fucking Wendy under the stars the night that Elvis died." And I really should remember to turn off my cell phone. Oh well, I'm leaving that in. That was Wendy Under the Stars by The Odds.
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I can't let you do that, Dave. No. We can change the world tomorrow. This could be a better place. If you don't like what I'm saying, then won't you slap my face? Because I'm bad. I'm bad. Come on. Bad, bad. Really, really bad. You know I'm bad. I'm bad. You know it. Bad, bad. Really, really bad. You know I'm bad. I'm bad. You know it. You know. Bad, bad. Really, really bad. Woo, woo. And the whole world has to answer right now just to tell you once again. You know I'm bad. You know I'm bad. I'm bad. Come on. Bad, bad. Really, really bad. You know, you know, you know. Come on. Bad, bad. Really, really bad. And the whole world has to answer right now.
Hello, Deadpan. This is Amy Bowen's Airport Update, Season 4, Number 2. I'm here live outside of Houston Intercontinental Airport with Ed from Texas. Do you want to say hi?
Hi, this is Ed from Texas.
Ed was extremely kind to me. I did miss my connection last night, but I'm rebooked on one of the flights this morning, and he's nice enough to let me sleep in the guest bedroom and give me breakfast. Thanks very much. So I'm off to catch my flight. We're boarding in about 25 minutes. I'll talk to you when I land in Ontario. Bye-bye.
And the whole world has to answer right now. Just to tell you once again, you know I'm smooth. I'm bad. You know it. Bad, bad. Really, really bad. You know I'm bad. I'm bad, baby. Bad, bad, really, really bad. You know, you know it. Come on. Bad, bad, really, really bad.
All right, Jack, dirty lyrics. All right. If this one was a movie, it would probably be rated R. Say you're G-ing. Nobody else is seeing. And the freak that you're with is in front of you, bending over naked, and she's leaning on the dresser. You're looking at her from the rear. She looks just like Vanessa. Uh-uh. Not Vanessa with the singing career, but the X-rated video queen. Know what I mean? All right, here's the scene. You're lying on your back with your head on the edge of the bed. The booty is 2 feet from your head. Should you A, take the time to find a condom? B, you walk right over and you pound them. C, tell her that you want her love. Well, the answer is D, all of the above. So you're freaking, the furniture's squeaking. She's tweaking, saying that she's weak in the knees. Cheek to cheek and pound for pound, you're taxing it and waxing it and working it around till the booty starts making that clapping sound, which is cool, but your friends are chilling in the other room. The clapping's getting louder. You don't want them to clown you. In this situation, what do you do? A, you plain and simply back up off her. B, you hit it just a little bit softer. C, you take it out and put it in her butt. Well, D is what I do, so yo, listen up. I put a towel on the floor by the 2-inch gap under the door. Now they can't see me anymore. Check the lock so they can't clock, but they can listen. There will be no barging in, and there will be no dissing. Get back to my mission, break out the whipped cream and the cherries, then I go through all the fly positions. My head under her leg, under my arm, under her toe. She says, I like it when you scream, baby, let yourself go. I hit it and split it, lick it and quit it. After the ride, put my clothes on and walk outside, and before anybody gets a chance to speak, I say, yo, don't say nothing. I guess I'm just a freak. That's an excerpt from Freaks of the Industry by the Digital Underground.
So Friday night was the Auroras. The food wasn't bad. It was banquet food. I've had better. I've had worse. It's, you know, it was food. But I did end up trading dessert with a lady at my table. She had the vegetarian meal, and they gave her a fruit bowl for dessert. I had beef, and I got this chocolate cake thing for dessert. not a big chocolate person, so we traded. Except we confused the poor waitress because she didn't speak any English at all, and I'm pretty sure she thinks we did her out of a dessert because when she handed me the chocolate, before we made this deal on trading because we didn't know what the vegetarian lady was going to want have, I said, I don't want it because it's chocolate. So the vegetarian lady got her fruit bowl. I said, oh, I'll take your fruit bowl and you can have my chocolate. So she gave me her fruit bowl, and then I called back the waitress and said, give her the chocolate cake that I said I didn't want. But because of her poor English, I'm pretty sure she thinks we cheated them from a chocolate dessert. At the Aurora's, I lost. What more can I say? I cried. Actually, I didn't, but, you know, it's fun to say that. It was whatever, you know, all the baloney, it's nice to be nominated, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, okay. But it was still fun. The chairman of World Fantasy 2008 did win an Aurora for fan organizational stuff. So, in a way, you can say we all won.
Hello, this is Retro, and when I listen to Jack Mangan's podcast, how does it make me feel? Kind of like that. Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan's the way.
And the whole world has to answer right now.
All right, Jack. One last set of dirty lyrics. If this one were a movie, it would either probably be NC-17, if it was simulated, or Get Someone Arrested, if it was real. I never got along with the girls at my school, filling me up with all their morals and their rules. They'd pile all their problems on my head. I'd rather go out and fuck the dead, 'cause I can do what I want and they won't complain. I want to fuck the dead. Middle of the night, so silently, I creep on over to the mortuary, lift up the casket and fiddle with the dead. Their cold blue flesh makes me turn red, 'cause I can do what I want and they won't complain. I want to fuck the dead. And I don't even care how she died, but I like it better if she smells of formaldehyde. Never on the rag or say, leave me alone. They don't scream, and they don't moan. Don't even cry if I shoot it in their hair. Lying on the table, she smiles and she stares. That would be Code Blue by TSOL.
And the whole world has to answer right now. Woo, just to tell you once again, you know I'm bad. I'm bad. You know it. Bad, bad. Really, really bad.
Then Saturday, more panels. The costume contest was okay, but I'll get into that later, because that will be in my overall overview of Worldcon. The party hotel, which was the hotel we stayed in, had a lot of problems, so they were not ready for the mass of people that were there. They even, at a later point, tried kicking out some of the authors people from the party rooms on the 28th floor for talking too loudly. Not all of them left. I know, like, Connie Willis stayed, and I think John Scalzi stayed and whatnot. I wasn't there. This was all hearsay afterwards. But yeah, they ended up, you would have this lineup of people trying to get into the party rooms, going all the way around the lobby, and it was just bizarre. They blocked off one elevator for those going into the parties and then opened up the rest for people who were at the hotel, which they really should have done it the other way around, because half the people at the hotel were party people anyways, including us, because then what you could do, we were at the party hotel and our room was on the 26th floor, the party rooms were on the 28th. All you had to do was flash your room card key and you could bypass the lineup and they'd whisk you up to your room floor. Well, we're only two floors from the party room, so, you know, go to our room floor and take the stairs up. Not that we partied much anyways. Husband and I were in bed pretty close to midnight, one-ish every night. I'm very much of a morning person, as I've stated on the boards before, so, you know, I'm up at 7 and in bed a little earlier, which is fine. We still had fun, lots of fun.
Hey, what's up? This is John Butchergrass from ESPN Sports Center. You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
Hello again. This is Amy Bowen's Airport Update, Season 4, Number 3. I'm still at Houston George Bush Intercontinental Airport, but I'm calmed down now, and I wanted to go into more detail about what's been going on. Like I said, my flight from Palm Beach to Houston got delayed, and I did end up missing the connecting flight I was supposed to have taken last night from Houston to Ontario, but the power of the deadpan community really came through for me, and instead of spending all night here in the airport, I got to spend it in an actual bed. Thanks again, Ed. So I'm waiting here. My flight to Ontario should start boarding any minute. It's supposed to be departing at 9:20, which is 35 minutes from now. And to compensate for my having missed my flight when they rebooked me onto this flight, which was very hassle-free, by the way. They put me in the first class seat I've ever had in my entire life. So I'm very, very excited about that. I'll call again, like I said, when I get to Ontario. And all this is over. This could have been another really bad trip, but it turned out to be a really good one. Bye-bye.
I don't think I actually got your voicemail from Ontario, Amy. If you called it in, then it never made it here. But we still got the story, and it is a great story. And Ed from Texas, your graciousness and helping out a friend is fantastic. And, you know, it's really wonderful that our stranded Amy was able to call on a friend, which is what this is all about. You know, I totally would have pod-faded years ago, abs-friggin-lutely, if not for the friendships forged through this little site and through this thing that we do here. Which is why, if you can make it to the Deadpan Festival, I strongly encourage it, because this is a community of good people who really, really care about each other. You know, forget the Republicans, this is the big tent. We're all inclusive and we are all caring. Anyway, speaking of politics, we're going to start the greasy comments without fanfare because it's late and I don't want to edit it. But I say speaking of politics because the first one is from Just a Joe and it is a political comment. From Just a Joe says, so this shouldn't have to be said, but apparently, all caps, it does. There are no death panels in the White House's health care bill. There is a provision originally sponsored by a Republican senator from Georgia that would have Medicare provide someone who could explain and make available a living will to any senior that requested such information. It's just a service that would be offered to an individual on request. Now, of course, Sarah Palin and her ilk have been on a media blitz, scaring people with talk of death squads for seniors. The supporters of the status quo have to wage a relentless war of frightening and outlandishly false statements in an effort to keep the public from actually discussing the facts. Geesh, or geesh. Retro says, wow, that news article sounds pretty impressive and painful at the same time. Ditto says, CP, you can't see me because I'm a stalker, - Killola. And something I should have been doing for a long time, but I want to start doing now, the first comment of the week. Vanamon says, OE is not 3. You know what? It is fucking pathetic that healthcare is, at base, about people, the quality of people's health and their lives, and preventing death. And it's become a political bone of contention. And it is more about business than it is about people's lives. All resources should be considered limitless when it comes to someone's health or their life. You know, and if you're a politician and any other consideration comes in while you're debating this healthcare mess, then you should be fucking ashamed of yourself. Which is why there should be an American party to just ditch all the noise from these two. Sorry to get all serious and political, which is very undeadpan-like, but really, I think the main problem with politics is that it's just too much like billiards. All right, we'll move on actually to a philosophical topic. If Angus Young were to come out on stage playing guitar while wearing rubber gloves, would the band really be OCDC? Would they have songs like Dirty Hands Disinfected Cheap, Back in Bleach, You Scrubbed Me All Night Long, Have a Mask on Me, Fly on the Wall, So We Have to Move, If You Want Bacteria, You Got It, Germs for Hire, Touch Too Much, For Those About to Wash, We Salute You? No? Maybe? Alright, this one's going on a long way. We have plans for future episodes, but your comments and contributions are welcomed. The contact information is sphericaljackm@gmail.com is the email address, or the voicemail line, 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. You've heard that we've done a dirty lyric meme and a bad lyric meme, and as well as just lyrics that you like. What actually I'd like you to do is call in or voicemail in or record and send in lyrics about a profound moment in your life, preferably in your childhood. It's, you know, something that you still remember, but it doesn't have to be in your childhood. You cool with that? All right, and you know what the hell? Well, this will be a long episode. I'll tell my story now. But, all right, I'm going to take a break to edit, and I'm going to throw in a bumper, and then I'll tell my story. And then we'll play an outro song and get the fuck out of here. BRB.
Deadpan is the motherfucking way.
So I was probably about 12. My parents were split up, and I used to see my dad on the weekends, usually on Sundays. And he called me before visitation on a Sunday and said, hey, you know, bring along a tape. Bring along one of your favorite tapes. I got a new tape deck. Yes, it was the mid-80s. Yes, mock away. But so he pulled up to the house in his beat-up old Chevette that he'd had, not for my entire life, but I remembered when he got it, because his old GTO wasn't working anymore, and he got this Chevette that he just absolutely loved. So he pulled up to the house in his beat-up old Chevette, which actually only came with an AM radio. And so we drove back to his office, and there, parked in the lot, was his brand-new, exciting Pontiac Firebird. Yes. Yes, it was the mid-80s. So he kept that Chevette. He actually still has that Chevette in 2009, by the way. It's a weird fucking guy. Anyway, so the Firebird was his clever little way of his showing me his new tape deck. So the tape that I brought was Power Slave by Iron Maiden, which was one of my favorites at the time. I was fanatical about Iron Maiden at the time. That's pretty much all I would ever listen to. So I put in the tape deck, and, you know, to his credit, he's an old man, but he gave it a fair shake, and he actually said he appreciated the song Rime of the Ancient Mariner for its intelligence and for its length, too, for the fact that it was a 15-minute song that they had the audacity to make a song that was 15 minutes in length. Although I do also, on the flip side, he thought that the song Aces High was just pure noise. But anyway, so later on in that day, you know, this guy had a very, he stepped outside of himself because we did something else. He listened to Iron Maiden, a full Iron Maiden tape, but we also went into the mall so he could buy another tape, and he bought a tape of 50s rock instrumentals and popped that in. And I was actually exposed to the song Rumble by Link Ray and his Raymen. So the Iron Maiden part of the story is very cool. And you know what? I often remember that day of bonding with my dad through one of my favorite tapes. And you know, for the fact that he did give it a fair shake and didn't just kind of dismiss it and be a jerk about it. Which, incidentally, I went to see the Judas Priest concert the other night, which was fantastic. And there was a dad in the row in front of me. He was there, gray-haired guy, probably early 40s, with two teenage kids, and of the three of them, the dad was the one who was going absolutely nuts. The kids were banging their heads, but the dad was singing along and pumping his fist to every song. That's, my dad was not going to go that far. It's not like he was a transformed man. But it was a cool bonding experience. Anyway, I'm really telling the story poorly. Rumble, that's the song that that I'm talking about. You know, I'd never heard anything that cool. I'd heard a lot of 50s music, and at the time, I was just a purely narrow-minded, single-minded metalhead kid, and I'd never heard anything from the 50s that had such power and such mood and just sounded so doomy and so freaking cool. So if you've never heard Rumble by Link Wray and his Raymen, then I suggest you go and check it out. It's a song that I actually soldered out, and when I finally found it on CD, I was pretty damn thrilled. And actually, before I even had it on CD, I remember being absolutely thrilled to hear it in Pulp Fiction when Vincent Vega is walking out of the bathroom at the... it's eluding me. You know the name, Jack Rabbit Slim's at the restaurant. And Rumble comes on. I was really disappointed that Rumble wasn't on the soundtrack. So anyway, please, when you tell the story, you have much more focus than I did, but that's what I'm talking about. Tell me about a song that really, really was transformative for you. And actually, like I said, Power Slave and Rumble, they always kind of bring me back to that day. And that's a day that actually that I will never forget and that I do think about from time to time. All right, that's it. This is the longest outro babble ever. Please send me your content. And please comment on the comments board. Think of me like Hulk Hogan. You know, I'm never going to rip my shirt off and make my comeback if I don't hear from you guys. So please comment on the boards. It's kind of the same as all the Hulkamaniacs roaring. All right. Not coming back after, Deadpan is the motherfucking way.
You could say she was a
Smurf
fiend. I could not resist when I saw little
Smurfette
grind.
Smurf.
You like
it? Ow, I'm a Smurf. Smurf.
If you only Smurf hard enough.
Smurf.
Oh, you're doing such a Smurfy job.
And it came to a door.
Papa Smurf.
Yes, son, I want to
Smurf
you.
Smurf it.
I want to.
You got shot, fucker. You think I give a damn about
Smurf
that a sucker?
I am
Smurf,
motherfucker.
Smurf,
the power.
Smurf,
the power. We got the
Smurf,
the power that beats.
Brainy
was a hero to most, but he
Brainy
was a hero to most.
Brainy
was a hero to most, but he never meant to me. Yes, he's straight out racist. The sucker was simple and plain.
Smurf.
Papa
Smurf.
Blue.
And I'm proud of
him. Here I am.
Smurf.
She like a hurricane.
Yeah, what's in there? Something I'm fascinating. It's a worry. You're listening to Jack Mangan's
Smurf.
Pan.
Smurf.
Pan is the way.
Remember to let her under your
blue
skin.
Smurf all day long.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking Smurfs on this motherfucking plane!
Please, sir. I want some more.
No.